With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome in episode 282 of the Sources Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR podcast network, presented by Justice Dental. Today's show is a very fun one, filled with a lot of breaking news, kind of a surprisingly news-heavy week, I guess you could say, Sean. We'll talk about the return of the Indiana-Kentucky series. The rivalry is back. And we will talk about Rajon Rondo's return to Lexington and kind of some closure on the whether Rajon Rondo will be on the staff or not. We finally got some. I got to ask him myself about the news on that. So we will definitely be talking about that and a lot of recruiting news. You do not want to miss that. Before we get started, a quick message from our friends at Justice Dental. Sources Say is presented by the great team at Justice Dental. Visit one of their two Lexington locations by scheduling an appointment online at justicedental.com or by calling or texting 859-543-0700. Dr. Thompson, Dr. Justice, and their team look forward to seeing you soon. Sean, the return of Kentucky versus Indiana, the rivalry that I think everybody in Hoosierland has been dying for. I mean, begging the administration, begging John Calipari to get this series started. It has been rumored for well over a year now. Cal, I think at SEC Media Days last year, confirmed that it was happening, said that he thought that it would return 2025, 2026, we finally get the official announcement, a four-year series that starts at Rupp Arena on December 20th, 2025, then goes up to Lucas Oil Stadium December 27th, 2026, December 18th, 2027, back at Rupp Arena, and then the one that we're all waiting for, December 16th, 2028, John Calipari's return on paper to Assembly Hall. Four-year series, man. This is one that I think Kentucky fans all would probably want. If you really ask them personally, do you want the Kentucky-Indiana series to return? I think the majority of fans would tell you they do. But it's more of a toss-up than I think you'd think because of just how terrible Indiana basketball has been as of late. And I think the feedback today is a lot more mixed than I was anticipating, of a lot of people saying, why are we even trying to bring back something that's dead? You know, I think Mike Woodson has been pushing this for a really long time since he got hired. John Calipari is a very close friend of Mike Woodson. It made sense to kind of get this thing rolling again. But I think there's a reason why this was kicked down. The can was kicked so far down the street with this one, especially with that return to Assembly Hall.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Great. You're good.
I have no idea what's happening on my end here.
You're good.
Right. You got me. I don't have you, but I'll start talking and I'll fix it in my ear. But no, it's an exciting time, right? It's something that we've been waiting on with this series for a very long time. I mean, 2011, since the last time that these two teams played, you know, a regular season matchup. And it was one that has been talked about for a long time with how it ended. And we know that John Calipari was not happy with the way that that transpired up there with the court storming and the safety of his players. But it's interesting the order that this series has been slated, right? With the first one at Rupp, then a neutral, and then another one at Rupp, and then one at Assembly Hall. And I mean, we're not going to dig deep into it, but it is worth noting that that's a long ways away. And I hope that John Calipari is here for the return to that trip to return trip to Assembly Hall there late in the series. But you were talking about, are fans excited about it or not? I think the majority will be, because the biggest talk, Jack, has always been about What does the schedule look like getting at the conference play? What are some dates that get you excited about Kentucky basketball season? That's a game that fans will be excited about regardless of where it's placed on the schedule. If it's in November or December, we know that first one is in December there, and that seems to be the right spot for that series to be played right there before Christmas. But it's a matchup that will get you excited about a non-conference date in addition to champions, if that's still a thing when that time gets here, CBS, Kentucky Gonzaga. Like there's a lot of things that are being done about this schedule the last 2 years that I think John Calipari is definitely getting some excitement back.
And Cal, his quote, I think, was really interesting. I'll read through some of the other ones. Mitch Barnhart, the IU athletic director, and we got a quote from Mike Woodson. But Cal says, this is a really important rivalry to our fans in the game of college basketball, and we're happy to bring it back. Mike and I have been friends for years, and I have the utmost respect for him as a coach and as a man. Let's do this. I want to ask you about those words, that this is a really important rivalry to our fans and the game of college basketball. Sean, how important is it for college basketball to get this series return? Now, Sean's saying that he can't hear me on my end. So can people hear me? I'm hoping that we'd get some comments. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with this. It's kind of frustrating that audio always tends to mess up here. But yeah, it's a really important series, I think, for college basketball, just for historic reasons. I know the recent series isn't what I think fans have been hoping for. I think fans have, whether they want to admit it or not, I think fans want this. I think that when the game is actually tipped and you get that return to Rupp Arena and you get that, you know, the historic vibe and the you know, if it's played on CBS or whatever, if it will have an old time classic college basketball feel to it that I think Kentucky fans will really appreciate, and all of college basketball will be able to buy back in and really enjoy that. So I'm thoroughly looking forward to it. I know it's kind of a polarizing topic today with a lot of people saying that Indiana's washed. There's really no reason to give them the time of day. But I think when the game is actually tipped, I think that it will be something that fans care about. And I do just appreciate that it's a chance to kind of just shut people up on Indiana's side about the Christian Watford stuff. Oh, Cal's afraid to come back home. There's just all of that stuff that kind of came with it. And I'm really excited to not deal with that anymore and just say, all right, let's get this ball tipped and see, you know, put your money where your mouth is, because Indiana fans are very mouthy. Like they feel entitled to this status in the current modern day of college basketball among the best of the best, when really they haven't done anything of substance in decades to justify that kind of entitlement. So I'm really excited for nothing else beyond, I do think it's important for college basketball to get the historical aspect back. But I really am excited to just kind of have Cal go back in there and this Kentucky program and tip that off and I think kind of re-cement what we all kind of thought and personally feel about it. I'm personally very excited about it. I believe we have Sean back. Sean, are you here? Maybe not. Okay. I don't know. We'll get him on very shortly. I think there's like an issue with this stream that whenever they play the video over the top of this, it kind of kicks him out of the stream and he can't hear on his end. So he has to leave and jump back in. So we'll get him back on very, very soon. But we have a lot to get to on this show. Very excited for it. Before we do that, My Perfect Franchise, the Source Say podcast, is brought to you by Andy Ludeke and My Perfect Franchise. .net. Andy is a franchise consultant as well as franchise owner and helps people find franchises that fit their skill sets, financial requirements, time to commit, and more. His services are 100% free, and he is here to help. If you have any questions about business ownership, you can learn more and contact Andy anytime at www.myperfectfranchise.net. I believe we finally have Sean back. Can you hear me loud and clear?
I got you. So when that video played, I lost you in my ear. I didn't hear the video, the IU video or anything. So I was hoping that you could hear me there when I was talking earlier. So I think you got me at that part, but now I do have you, and let's roll.
Yeah, I heard you loud and clear. So we're good there. It's frustrating. Like, why can't we just play videos? Like, we have funny things to play, good sound bites and things, and it kicks you out. It's like, why does StreamYard just have to not work? It's like, come on, man. This is
no, and I apologize for that, but I'm glad that we're back in here. I had the video fine, but I was not able to get you at any point. So I feel like hearing you is more important than seeing you. So I need to be able to hear you before we can do this.
Absolutely. So I did ask you, but before we move on, I did ask about Cal's quote where he says, this is a really important rivalry to our fans in the game of college basketball, and we're happy to bring it back. Just how important is it to the game of basketball? Do you buy the historic aspect of this, that college basketball needs this rivalry?
I think so. I think so, because honestly, I feel like over the years, I've lost interest in the non-conference schedule more so than what I used to have. And I think tradition is something, and there's people probably that will disagree with me, and there's people that will agree, and that's part of it. But I remember growing up as a kid, it was every December, it felt like basketball season because Kentucky would play North Carolina, Indiana, Louisville. And it was usually 3 weeks in a row. They wouldn't play any midweek games. It'd be a Saturday here, Saturday there, and then the third Saturday, and then you'd get into conference play. So I feel like from just maybe somebody that's followed the program for his entire life now, better part of 25, 26 years, Kentucky, Indiana should be playing every single season, whether it be neutral floor or home and away. And I think college basketball does need more games like this, because at that point in the season, it's competing with the NFL. It's still competing with college football. It's bowl season. There needs to be matchups that drive interest. And I think the storyline surrounding John Calipari, the Indiana program, the fact that they haven't played except twice in the NCAA tournament since that game in 2011. And yeah, I mean, Indiana's won some national championships. It's been a long, long time. Maybe they're not in that tier of blue blood and more recent blue blood programs, but it feels like given the geography and the general location and kind of the fans on both sides, this is a game that would draw a lot of interest, not just in the local market, but the national market as well. So I think it's good for college basketball.
And like you said, if you turn on ESPN on any given day, college basketball isn't even on their, 10th, 12th option on the tickers of the, pardon the interruptions and the round table discussion shows. Like, college basketball does not matter to them. And there has to be a reason behind it. But I also think, as you said, when there's such a massive interest here talking about bowl season and who's going to be in the playoff and this and that, like, there's just really not an appeal for Kentucky versus Marshall on a Tuesday night at 9:30. Like, people don't care about that in the grand scheme of things nationally. You know, we care about it because it's, we're different. We're, Kentucky fans are a different breed, but I feel like things like this are needed, as you said, to get that conversation, at least, get the appetizer ahead of the real college basketball slate. Like, I feel like that's what is needed to really, serve as the, let's get people to care about college basketball early on. That's what Champions Classic is for, but it can't just be one event carrying the weight of the entire college basketball season, especially early on. So for that, especially, I agree. I think it's necessary to just get the conversation moving, because college basketball is the best.
Well, it's another thing too, like the CBS Classic and where it's placed. There have been years where the attendance wasn't great at that event when they got it too close to Christmas. I remember one year in New Orleans, I think it was Kentucky and UCLA playing, and it was not the greatest crowd ever. And you get good matchups. Like, you got Kentucky, Carolina this year in Atlanta. I think that's a perfect location for that event, because you're going to get North Carolina fans coming over, Kentucky fans. We know, their love for Atlanta and showing up in that area. So anything to add to the December schedule of college basketball, I think it's great. And you get two programs that these fan bases, it more so on Indiana's side, probably. I know Kentucky fans, maybe, Kentucky's clearly the better program, like long-term, short-term, immediate right now. Like, I think Kentucky's in a better position to do some things, but it's a rivalry that needs to be played. It needs to be on the schedule. I've always been a big fan that at some point Kentucky, North Carolina needs to go back away from neutral floors and play home and away. I want to see those matchups in those environments. It's It's at Rupp, the first couple, but the one I'm excited about the most, I do want to see what it looks like in Lucas Oil Stadium. I think that'll be a fun thing, but I want to see it at Assembly Hall more than I want to see it anywhere, because that's a college basketball environment. It's a rich tradition place. I want to see that game be played there and at Rupp for the most part. And we'll see if it continues beyond that series. That's a long time away.
Final question on the topic. Is John Calipari the head coach at the University of Kentucky in 2028 for the return to Assembly Hall?
You know, Truly put out an over-under a moment ago, or maybe an hour or so ago, at 2.5 for those head coaches being the pairing for it. And it just goes back to what I was saying a moment ago. It's so far away, right? Like, it's still two seasons until they play, and then it's, what, five seasons until that matchup?
Mm-hmm.
That's tight. That's close. I'm going to say no. That's just my gut. We're talking almost 20 years at Kentucky if that's the case.
And Cal will be 70 years old. So it's like it has nothing to do with ability. Like, I hope he's here for until he's physically unable to coach anymore. I hope he's here. But he will be 70 years old. The end of his contract is literally the year before that Assembly Hall trip. It feels a little convenient. I'm just on paper, it does feel convenient. I hope he's there, because I think that he would look to make a statement and beat the absolute hell out of Indiana up in Assembly Hall. I do. Like, I think after so much crap he's taken for not returning to Assembly Hall, even though he tried to get Indiana in the CBS Sports Classic, he's tried to, you know, open the door to a neutral site game. He's opened up the door to the return of the rivalry, but like, he's also going to play on his own conditions, and I don't blame him. Like, if you understood what happened up in Bloomington that year in 2011, I don't blame him. Like, it was a really, really crappy thing that Indiana fans did and how they were treated. And Cal privately has kind of said, I never want to coach a game in Assembly Hall ever again. I don't blame him at all for not doing that. But if he does make it to this 2028, 2029, I think he's going to look to make a statement, and we'll see what happens. Plenty more to come down the road about this rivalry and just the return of that. But
I will say the series itself means more to Indiana than it does Kentucky. I fully believe that. I think Indiana needs it more than Kentucky needs it.
Yeah, I completely agree. Let's move on a little bit, because the other big, I think, news item of the last week or so was Rajon Rondo gets inducted into the UK Athletics Hall of Fame. His speech was unbelievable. Talked about just the importance of being here, that the people around this program that he loves, Tubby Smith, and, you know, all the way down to Michael Stone, the academic advisor. I mean, he named every single person that touched his life in some form or fashion that allowed him to become a two-time world champion in the NBA and become, you know, one of the most brilliant minds to ever touch a basketball. I mean, he is known as one of the most brilliant basketball minds ever. And that led to a really interesting conversation this offseason back in February. I had heard from several different places around the program that John Calipari had talked to him. He was already on campus taking classes, had talked to him about returning as an assistant coach, potentially as a student assistant, kind of exactly the same role that Tyler Ulis had. I had talked to him and said, hey, if you're going to be around, you might as well, you know, get your hands on these kids and impact their lives and in their basketball lives in some form or fashion. And there was mutual interest. Rajon wanted to do it. I think the time commitment and the, you know, in case that call came, training camps coming up with the NBA, in case something came up that a team needed a backup point guard, in case an NBA team said, we want to hire you as an assistant coach and potentially down the road as a head coach, I think he just wanted to keep his options open and say, I don't want to put myself in a position to where I have to leave you guys empty handed down the road. If I'm going to commit to something, I want to be all in with it. And it's just not something I can do. He also had some conflicts with his AAU program. That would have been a conflict of interest had he been an official member of the coaching staff. However, Sean, we got to ask him before the UK Athletics Hall of Fame speech about his coaching future. And he said that he has been in regular contact with John Calipari and says that he's going to be helping this roster and can't wait to help however he can. and I'll get the exact quote in a second, but your early thoughts on Rajon Rondo being back around the program, even if it's an unofficial role.
You get a winner back in your program, right? Like that's a winner. Multiple NBA titles, successful NBA career, been successful at the level that these guys want to make it to. And I think that's probably the most important part, right? Like these head coaches on the staff, you know, Cal and stuff, like it's a different – you're preaching it and you're talking about the guys that have been in this program that have gone on to play there. The difference is those guys aren't here every single day. They're here and they can communicate like Devin Booker and the way Anthony Davis and all these guys are still connected to the program. It's different when you got a guy that's in your program. You got Tyler Ulis who made it to that level too. You got those guys there every single day helping and around your guys. They can kind of bridge that gap and give advice and things and talk about what you have to do, especially at that guard spot, to make it to the league and get that next step. I think that's what's so significant about it. And the more guys that you can bring back that have had success, not only in this program, but the next stop, understanding what it's like to play at Kentucky, that's something that these coaches on the staff do not know. They've only coached here. They don't know what it's like to actually play here. You got two dudes now, if Rondo is here doing that, that have been in this program. They've been within this fan base for multiple times and multiple seasons. They know what it means to play and wear Kentucky across your chest. I think that is a huge thing for 18, 19-year-old kids that are hoping to do the exact same thing that those two guys did.
I can't wait to see them. Can't wait to get my hands on them. I'm going to try to give them input however I can. Coach Cal actually called me right before I got here. I told him I'm just happy to be around and be a listening ear for these young guys. All I ever wanted with this, like, everything that I've wanted when the rumors came. I mean, Rajon Rondo is the reason why I became a Boston Celtics fan. Like I adore him as a basketball mind, what he was able to bring, the swagger and the mindset and just the approach to the game that he had with the Celtics on that. You know, he was the perfect complementary piece with that big three team with, you know, KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen. I just adore that team. And a big part of that was because of Rondo and why I'm still a Celtics fan. Having that guy around Rob Dillingham, DJ Wagner, Reed Shepard, Joey Hart, like you go down the entire, you know, Rob Dillingham won't know what it's like to be a pro's pro until he is around in that environment. Being at Kentucky was the step in the right direction for him, you know, to embrace structure and understand the meaning behind, you know, what's going to look like at the next level. If you're going to make it at that next level, you got to make it at this level first. You can't just go to NC State and take 35 shots a game and just coast your way to the NBA. You got to figure out what it takes first so you're not way behind to begin with. And having a guy like Rondo, even if it's in an unofficial capacity, I would have loved to have him, you know, as on the bench during games. That would have been awesome. But even to have him around and have him say with his own mouth, not just whispers and, you know, things about, oh, I'm hearing that there's mutual interest. Like for him to say, I'm excited to be here and be a listening ear for these young guys. It's all I needed to hear because I already was really confident about the structure of this team. I was really confident about how cohesive it's all been and all, you know, all of that stuff. This was kind of like the last thing of like, I feel really good about that. Really, really good about that.
You talk about recruiting too, right? Like you bring guys to campus and they see that Rajon Rondo's here and you get to be around that guy who had a ton of success in the NBA. And like you said, there's a lot of guys out there that are probably Boston Celtics fans because of him, especially former, like, you know, Kentucky fans that transitioned into that and stuff. And, but no, it would be incredible if he is able to help this team out and the impact that he would have. And you got two dudes that are two entirely different players in Tyler Ulis and Rajon Rondo that can kind of bring you the entire complete package of the point guard position, right? Like you've got everything there at that spot. And can you imagine the growth and the progress that DJ Wagner would have and Rob Dillingham would have and what the overall point guard position would look like? If one of those two has to say something, Jack, John Calipari is probably going to listen to what those two say because they have been in the moment. They've been in the fire, not just in it, but in it at Kentucky. I always talk about Kentucky experience. It is a massive thing if you can relate to these kids, not just from an NBA side, but from a Kentucky side. And both of those guys can do that. And that is a massive thing for every single player on this roster.
What did Cal say about Ulis when he was on the team? that he's an extension of the coaching staff on the floor. That's why he is where he is right now as an assistant coach, and why he says that he wants to continue playing. His body is going to have to get back right, and you know that's what we're rooting for. But that was the value of having a guy like, you know, he's going to be a high level coach at some point whenever that time comes, because he's just a he was the college version of what NBA people thought of Rajon Rondo. Like Rajon Rondo was seen as that extension of the coaching staff every stop along the way. There were a lot of coaches that kind of said, I let Rondo do a lot of the coaching because he was going to coach one way or the other. He was going to make his point known one way or the other. It rubbed a lot of people the wrong way in the NBA, and that's kind of something you got to live with when you have a guy like Rondo. To have that guy around your program with Tyler Ulis, who's kind of like the college version of that at Kentucky, I mean, could you ask for two better human beings to be around the program for this backcourt? I mean, I personally can't.
You can't, and they know the ups and downs of this business. And it is a business, especially even more so now than it ever has been, even at the collegiate level. And two guys that know the program, two guys that know the game. You and I got to see Rondo this summer at Peach Jam and stuff and being around. And just he got the attention of the room the same way some other dudes that walk in down there. Maybe, I mean, LeBron obviously was the center of attention and stuff when he was there, but I feel like Rondo was right there behind him too. And the excitement about seeing Rondo and the people and the young kids and things about knowing who that was. And then seeing him interact with the players on that team too, down at the end of the bench, and how he would just put an arm around guys and kind of teach them for a moment. When the game was over, he'd be talking to guys. That's something that I want to see within this program, is when Cal takes one of these guys out, they go straight to Ulis and Rondo. Can you imagine sitting between those two on the bench if you're DJ Wagner and hearing what you did wrong or what you did good or what you need to do next? That is a big thing that not many programs in college basketball are going to have the luxury of having on their bench.
Absolutely. We're very excited for it, and I'm glad that we finally got some level of closure for it, because it was just I saw all the comments. I saw all the questions of people asking what's going on with Rondo, and it was always like, he's on campus. He's here. Why are we not putting two and two together here? So I appreciate the closure here where, yes, he is going to be around. That's what Cal's goal with this was the whole time, and that's – very, very awesome. Appreciate that Kyle was able to make that happen, and Rondo for being around. We got one more ad to go, and we have some fan questions to get to from KS Board that Sean, a lot that you're going to like. But I want to give a shout out because, now he's back. So last week on our show, we said SEC Nation is coming to Kroger Field for Kentucky, Florida. And if somebody can be shown with a sign, a source to say sign, they could come on this show and ask questions for 5 minutes, however, whatever they wanted to do for 5 minutes as a thank you to making that happen. And not only did our guy BBN MJ show up, he was there on every single TV turn. I mean, every single corner of the screen, you had Tim Tebow talking, you had Paul Feinbaum talking, and you had our guy BBN MJ there with our sources say sign. And the other side of his sign said Free Big Z. So BBN MJ, you win. He should be coming on right now. You win. End of story. We appreciate you coming on. What's going on, buddy?
Great. How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me, giving the opportunity to be here too.
So, talk us through how you made the sign and how many questions you had asked about what the heck is this Sources Say podcast and why is it being shown on national television?
Well, first of all, you know, we talked about Free and Big Z, and I wanted to kind of, you know, let the message out, and, you know, having a chance like that at SEC Nation and all that. I know it's football, but we still talk basketball too. That's 24/7. And, you know, with the Sources, you know, the podcast, I mean, I'm a big fan. We have a lot of fans. And I wanted people to know. And believe it or not, like, when I was walking towards the stadium, as I'm holding a sign, people, like, knew exactly what it is. And be like, who's Big Z? Of course, everybody like, oh, yeah, that's the Croatian kid. And I'm like, yeah. And then I flipped the sign around. And there you guys. And like, oh, Sources Podcast, Jack and Sean. I'm like, yep, we got to make sure we'll present. And I did try my best. I was there early, like almost 7 a.m., waiting every opportunity. Whatever the camera went, I went. So it was fun. It was great.
I saw you flip your wrist about 35 times, dude. I feel like you have arthritis or something.
I needed another shoulder or two, man. It was holding it for that long. It was tough, but it was beautiful. And of course, we beat the crap out of Florida, and that was amazing. And shout out to the fans, man. It was wild. They made a difference. I really believe they made a big difference too.
Well, yeah, I was wondering if you scouted out positions, because I saw you moving around quite a bit.
I was. I even got to meet Tim Tebow. Took a picture with him. Tried to talk to Paul. Paul wasn't, he wasn't into talk to anybody. He was just kind of different. But it was cool. It was fun.
Tim Tebow's on a whole different level of Paul Feinbaum anyway. So you talk to the guy that mattered.
Yes, and he's a great guy, man. He's a really cool guy. And I mean, of course, he's a Florida, but still he's cool.
What do you got for us? We want you to go rapid fire, whatever you want to know. We promise no question is off limits. Whatever you want answered, we'll talk about it.
The big question is obviously what's going on. Any updates on Big Z? I feel like we want to hope that we get him. I really hope we do. Nothing against Aaron or the big guys we have, but still, Big Z will make a big difference.
I'm hoping that how much TV time your sign got, I'm hoping that it like led to some the admissions people going, oh, well, if BBNMJ wants him in, we got to make it happen. I still hear that, relatively good things. I think that there were some more holdups than they were, I think, anticipating last week. And that's why I was kind of really vague about it last week. The message still is, we're just trying to get this thing across the finish line. They still think that it can get done. We still have like a week and a half to get him on campus and make this happen. So I'm personally rooting for like a WWE entrance, like a Undertaker return or something, to get him at Big Blue Madness and just introduce himself to the world and fans go absolutely crazy. I feel like if you're going to deal with all of this stuff behind the scenes, I feel like there has to be like a grand entrance. And I feel like that's something the fans would really appreciate too.
All right. And, I saw the jersey you had the one podcast we were talking about, MSS 44. So I was wondering if that was a hint or some kind of way, just curiosity, man.
No, so I had gotten that from my guy, Jimmy Mahan, who runs the Kentucky Roadshow card shop in Lexington. We're going to actually have a show with him where we go through the museum and talk about just the importance. I mean, he has some stuff that is the absolute coolest of any memorabilia I've ever seen. And like, if you have not been to his shop in Lexington, you have to stop in, you have to see it. And I was there and, just looking around, and we were talking and getting around to it. And that was actually Dakari Johnson's game worn Bahamas jersey. Like that was the one that he wore down there in the 2014-15 season. So it just very conveniently worked out time-wise that he's number 44 and we're trying to get Big Z in. So I have it hanging up right over there. So that's going to be my good luck charm. And if we get Big Z in, I'll wear that to Big Blue Madness. I'll wear
that. Awesome.
Can I wear my Mark Pope jersey?
We'll have to walk in together and get made fun of. Like, as they hand us the media credentials, I'll go, yeah, you guys just get the hell out. You have no business being here. That was no hint or anything. That was just I'm hoping for the best. I'm rooting I think that the staff understands how bad that fans want him here. Like, definitely, they want him just as bad. So I think the message that the people around the program want out there is, just because things are quiet does not mean that they're not working at this. They want it made very clear that they're doing whatever it takes to get this across the finish line. If this doesn't happen, it will not be out of a lack of effort. So that was something that they just, people around the program wanted made very clear, that just because things are quiet and just because things are silent does not mean that we're not working to get this thing done. If it just feels like once they get themselves in a position to get him here and like they feel that, okay, we got a plane booked for him next week. Let's make this happen. It's like two or three more things that, well, actually we got to do this and this first. And then we can, it's like one more thing is added to the docket for him for the program. And I think there's a lot of internal frustration there. And I think that's why that's why I said last week, they just want the outside noise shut up. And I do think somebody from up top probably put that message out there, but I think it also does help the staff to just be able to tune out all the outside noise and just get this thing done. And I think that's their hope and anticipation. We'll talk about it here first if there is a major change, but I'm still holding out hope that we get a Undertaker entrance at Big Blue Mattis.
That'll be nice. I'll hopefully get his jersey too. I mean, you know, he's a great, he'd be a perfect puzzle, the last piece of the puzzle, you know. The front core would be great. And with big guys, you know, being injured, That takes time. That takes time. The 7-footers usually take a lot of time. And that's my worry, really, the front court with the injuries. Nothing against Aaron and Ugonna. I mean, these are great players. But still, you want that one dude who can stretch the floor, shoot some smooth threes. It'd be nice. So yeah, God willing, we'll get him.
That's the hope. I think he's going to be the icing on the cake, and that's anticipation. We'll see what happens, man. It's going to be a very busy week. We should have an update one way or the other. And I haven't gotten an official update yet on the latest with Aaron Bradshaw and Ugo about when they're going to get back on. I was told that this week we'll kind of get an official timeline for return about, like, all right, they're back at practice, or it's going to be another couple of weeks. I've not gotten that quite yet. So I'll, you know, next show we do, I'll obviously make that happen. And we'll certainly talk about how excited the staff is about Aaron Bradshaw and how good he looks. And hopefully we get Big Z at practice sooner rather than later.
Awesome. Well, God willing, man, I really appreciate this opportunity. And thank Big Blue Nation for accepting me as a part of the family, because I'm not originally from here, man. I'm from another country overseas. And I became a huge UK fan like 15 years ago. I was actually brought up in Jersey, North Jersey. And I ran into, you know, Big Blue Madness one time, and I was hooked. And before you know it, I'm crazy BBN. So I appreciate you guys. Love Big Blue Nation, and with God willing, I want number 9 so bad.
So bad. Well, you and all of us, man, we appreciate you coming on, and shout out to the sign, man. We asked BBN to follow through, and you made that happen.
Of course, I appreciate you guys, and go Big Blue, and let's get number 9. And hopefully, I don't think we're gonna beat Georgia, but I hope we'll put a good fight. I think we will.
I love the optimism, man. I appreciate you coming on, and we'll try to do this again soon. How about that? That was so cool.
I'll say this: if somebody ends up in Athens with a Sources Say podcast on, we might have to get them. Might have to give them a full segment, like the whole.
You can just host it.
You can host the show, yeah.
Before we get into some of the other stuff, we got some recruiting stuff to get to and all that, and do want to talk about our friends with Game Time. I know you are a big fan of Game Time. You should not have to worry when you're buying tickets. Now isn't the time for guesswork with killer last minute deals, all in prices, views from your seat, and the best price guarantee. Game Time does all of the hard work for you. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event, and even an hour after it starts, it is the place to find last minute tickets, find exclusive flash deals and sponsored deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more with zone deals. You pick the section and Game Time picks the seats for an average of 18% savings. Sean, you have had experience with them. You've used them not once, but twice. I feel like a lot of fans probably need to use them down in Athens this week. Use our friends at Game Time. Just because it's gonna be rowdy, it's gonna be hard to get tickets, and Game Time's gonna have you covered if you go down to Athens.
I am gonna tell a story here and maybe tell myself a little bit, but I had somebody text me yesterday and say, "Hey, any chance you know how I can get tickets this weekend?" And don't hate me, I didn't tell him because he's a Georgia fan, so I don't want any more Georgia fans getting in that stadium. So let's let our listeners take those tickets, and the Game Time app's the way to go. If you've never been to Sanford Stadium before. Beautiful stadium between the hedges, but you can go inside that stadium and see exactly where you want to sit. And there are plenty of tickets available. I know I got on there yesterday because a couple of people talking about riding down with me to just go to the game. So definitely recommended Game Time. It's the easiest app to use. Get some tickets and let's go watch this football team do something special, because I certainly think they have a chance this week.
I do too. I do feel really good about it. Just where this team is, the confidence level. We had Vince Merrill on my radio show Sunday morning, and he was just like, "We're tired of looking at the stickers on the side of helmets. We're just ready to lace these things up and kick that ball off." Like, I mean, they're just ready to roll.
Hadn't lost audio there at the beginning, I was going to say, I know this is a basketball podcast, but you got to give a shout out to what the football team did Saturday. Unbelievable performance. One of the most dominant performances I ever remember in Kentucky football history, as far as against an opponent that has kind of for years been the thorn in Kentucky's side. It's not anymore. And it was good to see the environment there. And look, this fan base is even better when football's good and basketball's good. And that's what I'm hoping for. Great football season, great basketball season, and let these fans experience something great, because it's been a while. It's been a bit.
Which was the funniest part of the whole stupid basketball school versus football school part was, if you actually watched the entire Cal interview, he said, football being good makes my life easier and makes my recruiting easier, because we take these recruits to games and we, you know, they feel the environment and the atmosphere of Big Blue Nation. As we saw on Friday, they had Big Pat on campus, Patrick Ngamba. They had him on campus, took him to the Florida game with the entire basketball team. Oscar Tshiebwe, Jacob Toppin were both there recruiting this kid to Lexington. It's like, that's what was missing with all of that, that everybody just kind of lost it behind, is Cal said very bluntly, my life is easy when the football team is good. So I kind of need them to be successful so we can continue to be successful. They go hand in hand. So this is nothing but a positive. Cal or Kentucky beating the hell out of Florida, going down competing against Georgia, leading up to Big Blue Madness next week. I mean, you could not ask for a better situation unfolding for Kentucky. If Kentucky goes down to Athens and beats Georgia right before Big Blue Madness, I think it's going to help with basketball recruiting. I do.
It absolutely is. And honestly, Kroger Field is the best experience and thing that they can use in recruiting. It's the best way to show the power of BBN. You got 61,000 plus out there waving pom-poms, and half of it wearing white and half of it wearing blue. And the blue-white chant the other day, it was loud in the stadium, but I went back on TV and listened to it today. And when the announcers were quiet for a moment, it was like the loudest I'd ever heard it. And I was like, I cannot believe how loud that environment was for a noon kickoff. The BBN certainly showed up and pounded some beers and did exactly what Mark Stoops asked them to do. And Jack, I don't know about you, but I can't believe I did this last night. I was on another show and I actually called an upset this weekend. I picked Kentucky to win the game. And it's just, I just feel like that this time around is different. I think that this program, I know we're supposed to be talking basketball, but as good as that football team was on Saturday, I had to give them a shout out for just how good they were, and Mark Stoops and the job. How about Brad White? Unbelievable. And you've been tweeting a lot about football too. We've been flooding Twitter with football for the last few weeks. So I hope they go get a win Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. A fan asked, what jersey is Sean wearing? My apologies for jumping in. I'm sure he's mentioned it. Mark Pope, baby.
Look, Mark Pope. Little snug.
it's all good. It's all good. But we got some recruiting stuff to get to. Some news, and I think we're going to have some news coming down the pike sooner rather than later in the recruiting front, as we talked about with as the football team is good and momentum builds around Big Blue Nation, the recruits feel that excitement just as much on the football side as even more so on the basketball side. So I watch very closely, Sean, how Cal operates in the next 2 weeks. Cal, I've heard from several different people that the sample size we've seen historically, Cal loves building momentum around Big Blue Madness, but especially at that early signing period. He likes having a really nice foundation set of one or two headliners in a class to really get this thing moving, to lay the foundation to recruit other guys and say, you want to go play with this guy? Well, he's already signed. He's already ready to go for us. Why don't you come join him? That is the way Cal operates, and I don't think that this year is going to be any different. I would be absolutely shocked if we don't get some positive recruiting news in the next 2 weeks. I think, again, Cal likes, you know, G's moving silence like lasagna. Cal likes to get things orchestrated in such a way that it builds very positive PR around the program, around the most interesting and you know, around the peak of fan interest, which is Big Blue Madness. I think he's going to try to put two and two together there, and I would be absolutely shocked if we don't get some type of news very, very soon about a potential addition. Who could those individuals be? We'll talk about a couple of them. Boogie Flan is somebody that Cal has seen now four times in the last 3 weeks, just under 3 weeks, actually, has seen him four times now. I've been told from several individuals that it is a head-to-head battle between Kentucky and Indiana, 1A, 1B, coin flip between those two, with or Kentucky and Indiana with Alabama.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Sitting solidly behind both of them. It's like they're trying to one-up one another, Sean, of, okay, Cal is up at Boogie's school watching open practice and meeting him in person. Very next day, Mike Woodson and three assistants go up to New York and go to see them. It's like they know that it's, you know, it's like they're throwing knockout blows in round 12, knowing that the finish line is right here. I was told that this will not make it to November. This recruitment will not make it to November. Kentucky is right there. It depends on the day if I get the feel that Kentucky's in the lead or if Indiana's in the lead, but it's like barely one way or the other either way. And I think it's partly the a kid being torn, knowing that, okay, if I go to Indiana, I'm going to have a bigger role there. I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to be able to show my abilities as the star. Or I can go to Kentucky. He's a New York kid. He has the flair, you know, the Big Apple charisma. Like he embraces that. And I think he feels that he could go to Kentucky under the bright lights of Rupp Arena and college basketball's biggest stage and be that same dude and prove himself on college basketball's biggest stage. It's going to be really interesting to see how these next couple of weeks go. It's not done. It's still, I mean, neck and neck. There's a reason why Kyle was there this week to see him. But we'll see what happens. Cal likes orchestrating these things and keep a close eye on that. The timing is working out very, very nicely for this to be the home stretch of this recruitment show.
Yeah, and that's what you were saying a moment ago. The way that things are trending now with the visits and the in-home and getting to campus and checking in and all the reports that are coming out in that recruitment tells you it is getting close. And it's getting close to being done. And if it comes down to it, Jack, what are the – I know it's probably a tough question, but what are the one to two things that you think Kentucky has to do to get that one done?
You can't make this up, Sean. Travis Branham tonight. Indiana, it will be full staff tomorrow morning to go before school to see Boogie Flan, the source tells 247 Sports.
I promise I hadn't seen that yet. I did see our friend Travis Branham walking through the Arboretum parking lot the other day during tailgate, and we had a nice conversation. He asked me where you were, and I guess it's just a given thing that me and you are together when it comes to UK athletics events. So, perfect timing, Travis. Just like we said,
it never fails. But again, it is haymaker, 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 haymaker. Who's going to be the last person standing? Cal typically does very, very well in these type of recruiting environments, but. It's about what the kid – and the kid is different. He is a guy that is as tight-lipped about his recruitment. I have asked him in an interview before, do you do this on purpose? Are you a bad interview on purpose? And he's like, well, what do you mean by that? I said, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you refuse to give anything in any interview you have ever done. And he goes, yeah, it is on purpose. I know exactly what I'm doing. And I'm like, I knew it because he goes above and beyond. You ask, who's prioritizing you in your recruitment right now? He goes, all the schools that have offered me are prioritizing me exactly the same. And I really appreciate this opportunity to have so many schools that want me at their program. And it's like, okay, that's great. But who's actually going all in on you? Well, they're all going in on me. It's just like, it's this teeth pulling, talking to him. He's great. He's unbelievable. One of the best kids I've come in contact with doing this job. But he also knows how to play the game really well. He only puts out there what he wants out there. And that has made this recruitment in particular. It's like, you can get to, it's going to be Kentucky or Indiana, and they are duking it out down the stretch to get him. But like the who's trending today, who's, you know, it's just kind of one of those, we'll have to see. Kentucky feels confident, but I know Indiana feels very confident too, talking to people around the Indiana program. So it's going to be very interesting.
Perfect timing for this rivalry, right? Like for it to be renewed.
I think Trilly Donovan even said something about that. He was like, in the short term, which side will Boogie Flan be playing on? Because that is something to keep an eye on, because there's a chance that he's back for a year. So he wouldn't be playing. He would be on the year before the series comes back. But if he is back for a year or two, he would be probably the headliner of that entire game. So that's definitely something to keep a very close eye on. Another individual to keep an eye on, and we have some fan questions on KS board. We'll run through rapid fire. We don't want this to be over an hour, so the end of this show is going to go very, very quick. We'll try to hit these as fast as possible. I would watch Jaden Quaintance. I think that is a guy that Kentucky sees as the home run threat in their class. He is kind of the guy that if you can land him and build a class around him because of what his potential is, knowing that he's a two-year guy, and maybe he comes to campus and stays for 1 year and then goes to the G League a year afterward. You know, you just got to get him for that first year and then deal with all the rest of that afterward. But he is a guy that John Calipari sees as his next max contract. He sees Jaden Quaintance as, if you're going to land if you're going to push all your chips in on one guy, Jaden Quaintance is that guy. And I have heard privately that's what they're doing with Jaden Quaintance. And I think it is very interesting that he takes an official visit to Missouri. And usually when you hear about an official visit, it's, oh my gosh, it was the best official visit we've ever heard. This X school has firmly put itself at the top of his recruitment. You didn't hear that with Missouri, and everybody was anticipating that going into that Missouri trip. And then you didn't hear that. And then there's this Kentucky buzz that's kind of circling. And then Missouri takes a 7'2" center, 4-star kid, top 100 recruit within the week. The dominoes are starting to fall in such a way that I would keep a very close eye on that one, Sean. And if a commitment does come very, very soon, I think Kentucky should be viewed as a very, very heavy favorite in that one.
Yeah, and he's got the frame too, right? Like that's the type of frame that not only makes it at Kentucky, but makes it at the next league too, and where he's wanting to go. And moves well for his size, long arms. I mean, a really, really talented player that you put him in this class and you start to really like about where Kentucky's going in 24 and the other possible additions that they could get. But if they're able to get Jaden Quaintance, a guy that'll, I mean, every recruiting guy loves him. Everybody loves his game and what he can be. And he could be definitely a physical presence for this program that you can, he fits right in from day one. If Kentucky's able to land him, that'd be a huge get here, especially if you can get it done in the early signing period and get some momentum. And you mentioned how Cal lines things up and how things happen with visits, but it feels like that Champions Classic event every year is right at the perfect time too, because you're on the national, you're in this national spotlight playing one of the programs in Kansas, Duke, or Michigan State, but you're also signing day is right there too. And you're announcing multiple 5-stars or multiple dudes in your class. And I would expect Kentucky to be in position to do that again.
What happened last year? Big Blue Madness was Aaron Bradshaw. Champions Classic was DJ Wagner. That's not an accident. Like Cal understands that is when all eyes are on his program. And Aaron Bradshaw is, you know, a guy that you want to put on a pedestal. DJ Wagner, that was one of the biggest gets of John Calipari's career for obvious reasons. That came out when it did for a reason. I would keep a very close eye on. And, you know, it's not a guarantee that either of them are going to be Wildcats, but just the timing of when guys are trending toward a decision, where Kentucky stands with those guys, those things are not a coincidence.
And the Cal pushes prioritizing those guys too, right? Like, I mean, they're all in and wanting those guys. And, you know, the message about how they fit with next year's class and things. I think if you can really jumpstart this thing, I know you've got Sompto in there who we had on last week, but if you can add those two to the mix, and depending on who comes back from this team, you're at least liking what they're doing and piecing together with some newcomers coming in. And it'll be interesting to see what this class does look like in the end. I mean, it's still, like you said, it's a process. Missouri comes – is that a game at Rupp in December, I believe? I think it is, isn't it? Yeah. So that's the one that you're going head-to-head there with Jaden. So what are the chances he's a Kentucky Wildcat before Missouri comes to town there in December? Hopefully that November signing window, Kentucky's got a few more names in that class.
Chaka come in, says, is Jack going to give us 30 seconds on how excited he is to have Drew Holiday join the Celtics? It's very heartbreaking because I am a Time Lord fan. Robert Williams is, you know, love that guy. Marcus Smart was the heart and soul of the team. I lost both of them this offseason. Grant Williams, take him or leave him. I appreciated him for who he was, but now I can kind of stop pretending to like him because he's a Celtic and appreciate my hatred of him for his, you know, the Tennessee reasons. He's gone, but losing Marcus Smart and Rob Williams absolutely crushed me. But getting Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday in the same offseason, I personally think that there is a heavy favorite in the NBA, and it's my favorite team. Just so happens to be that way, and I'm very, very thankful for that. Drew Holiday is that was one of those guys that, like, you always wish you could have him on your roster, but it just never works out because he's on another contender being a pain in the ass to you. So I'm glad that he's going to be a pain in the ass to everybody else and not us anymore. So yes, I do appreciate that.
As a Celtics fan for you, I got to spend some time with a guy that you probably know pretty well within that organization with Micah Shrewsbury yesterday, since he was an assistant with Brad Stevens. So had quite a bit of conversation about the Boston Celtics.
He was very good in his time with Boston as a coach. I mean, he was excellent. There's a reason why he got the jobs that he has since leaving Boston. He's excellent at what he does, and I think Notre Dame's in the right hands. Let's go knock out some of these other questions. Have you heard any other notes on players from the practices? Connor Rigg asked that. Yes. I heard that Robert Williams, I'm in my Celtics bag, Rob Dillingham, I heard, was absolutely tremendous last week, was a very clear standout, physically looks the part, feels the part, has made an obvious jump from what we saw of him in July versus where he is right now. Exactly what I wanted to hear after that. And I heard Jordan Burks is looking very, very nice and has fit in quite nicely, doing all the extra stuff that I think will put him – if he's going to play this year, that's going to be the stuff that gets him on the floor with front court depth. That's going to, you know, it's not going to be a sexy position to be, you know, not, it's not going to be a sexy role for him to play, but it's going to be a role. And if he wants to play in year one, that's going to be the one. You know, can he be the Lance Ware replacement? Can he be that grit guy that's going to come in and just make an impact, make winning plays? That's going to be how he gets on the floor. And I think he's embraced that. I think there was some pushback there early about, you know, that's not what I've ever been. Why are you asking me to do that? But as he's bought in, I think there's kind of been a mentality change. And I think that has translated to a physical change with him. So those are the two week one standouts. I'll, you know, check in this week and see if there's any other change about who's looking good and all that. But very, very two interesting names that popped up first for me in practice news.
And it's a good thing. I think it's a good sign because I'll tell you from a coach's standpoint, these early practices now, you're probably, I'd say, seven in now at this point. It may be somewhere around six, seven, eight, whatever the day is now. But these are the most competitive sometimes because you're fresh, you're coming off the summer and not being able to actually have practice together and actually work on things or do things. It's a lot of defensive drills. I know there's a ton of shell drill in there, probably transition drills and things. It's the most competitive time is that first week, 2 weeks, because guys are fighting for their spot. They're fighting to stay above water when it comes to on this roster. And when you got that many competitors on the floor together, it brings out the best in you. And I think it's really good that we're hearing from those two positive things because they got the benefit of going through the summer, seeing what they need to work on, and coming out ready to fight, right? I think we learned a lot about the other guys on this roster. Those were two guys we were kind of wanting to know more about, and I think it's good to hear that they're performing well early.
The ghost of Pete Gillen asks, if you gave Cal truth serum, what recruiting miss from the last 5 to 10 years would he tell you hurt the most? I have one, but
Zion.
It's that's up a there. Good one. That's a good one. I think Cade Cunningham, because of what happened after the fact, because I think so much was banking on Devin Askew not being the guy. You know, I think the whole idea of having a guy like Devin Askew in was to play a secondary role and let him ease his way into college basketball and, you know, do what he does best as a catch and shoot guy and, you know, be a dog defensively and things like that. While Cade, you know, they pushed all of their chips in on Cade Cunningham to be the star of the show. And then you didn't come up with that secondary, the other star piece. And you just kind of had to say, well, we'll see what happens with Devin Askew. And it was a miss. I mean, and it just, that situation was what it was. It sucks. But that was, I think, from how bad it hurt the team and how much I know Cal, you know, hearing stories from behind the scenes, horror stories of that 2020 season that was just awful and the chemistry issues that team dealt with and how hard Cal was on the guys and just understanding. It's like when you know that you don't have the dudes, Sean, you don't have the pieces of the puzzle and you just kind of have to just put it all together and figure it out and go, these pieces don't mix. They don't match. And knowing that Devin Askew was a big part of that and Cade Cunningham was kind of the missing part of that. And it was kind of a one or the, I think that if you were to ask Cal which one hurt the most, I think you'd say Cade, but Zion's up there.
And that miss, and not just one miss, but you know, there were some misses there down the stretch. So we're at what, 19, 20 and 21. I mean, they got some guys, but they also missed on some guys in the front court and in the back court that it kind of set them up to have to lean heavily on portal there for a bit. They weren't getting the guys that they wanted. They got late. I remember one of the first years me and you were recording together, I think it was the class that was a small class at one point. Then they've had some small classes at one year. It was Bruce Hopkins, Damian Collins and stuff. I think another guy that I would throw in there, and I don't really know if it really qualifies as a miss because they kind of went with a choice, but Trey Young. I would have loved to have seen Trey Young in this program alongside Shea. I don't know how it would have worked with the ball, but I could definitely see Trey knocking down shots with Shea with the ball in his hands. I think that would have been fun to see.
John P. Ryan said Miles Bridges, and I think that's a big one as we talked about how much it hurt missing on Cade Cunningham, how much that hurt the construction of the roster. I think from a better fit standpoint, I think Miles Bridges would have been a game-changing piece on that roster, and it was kind of a him or Wenyan Gabriel type deal. And I think that would have been a clear upgrade at that position had it been
by the way. Who's also
a Boston Celtic.
Yeah.
Also a Boston Celtic. We'll see how that one goes. James Wiseman obviously is the big one, but that was, you know, they had him locked up. That was a done deal. Until it wasn't, you know, until there's nothing you could do about that one. When the one guy who couldn't go to the one school, it unfolded that way. And it was just like, you know, it is what it is. You know, control the controllables. And that was not a controllable on their part. Even though they tried, they tried their hardest.
Paolo Carroll mentions in there now too, in the comments.
Paolo was a big one.
There's been some big ones.
Mm-hmm. Jaden Hardy is a big one too. Just because kind of similar situation with James Wiseman, when you build so much around a certain guy thinking that he's going to be the, you know, centerpiece of your class. And then he, you know, takes a turn to the last second and you kind of have to scramble to find a replacement. That hurts. So I think there's a long list, but I'll take the guys that Cal has gotten over the years tenfold. You know, there's a reason why the list of misses is like one guy here or there each year versus an entire roster constructed of at least people in the conversation for contenders.
And I think that's the more encouraging thing about the roster he's put together this year is he got the top end guys. He got the guys that he wanted. They got the dudes on their roster that they were recruiting the hardest. And
for people that there for a couple of years are like, oh, he's lost his touch in recruiting. He certainly found a way to get it back, because what they brought in is certainly in a position to have a great year.
Some questions about Billy Richmond. There's some, you know, he just took an official to Memphis. Memphis is the top contender there. LSU kind of sort of feels good about them. I don't think they're a real threat. I think it's going to be Kentucky or Memphis, but I would still be absolutely shocked if it's anybody. But I think all of this is window shopping. I think when push comes to shove and he actually has to make a decision, there's just way too much pushing Kentucky that direction. And they haven't stopped recruiting him. They're still going hard on him. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's a kid playing the recruiting game exactly the way you're supposed to, taking the visits you're supposed to. But when push comes to shove, there's a school that's always in his heart. And I think that school is going to be Kentucky. So I'll be shocked if I'm wrong, but you know, it's happened in the past and it'll happen in the future. I just don't think it's going to be the case there with Billy Richmond.
One for you. What about Carter Knox and things about where Kentucky is? And if that's, to me, that's one. And I was having this discussion with someone else this week about if you can take him and you can get him, I think you get him, one, because we know that Kevin's trajectory in the NBA, and I'm not trying to, this is no knock on Kevin Knox. He's got his money and he's got paid, but I think this would be the case that if for Carter, that there would be no rush to go to the next step, because you kind of want to see. And Kentucky, there's some trust there, Jack. Like, what do you think about that one? I know that one's not, maybe we've not talked about that one as much the last few weeks.
I think Kentucky has decided that he is in the next run of guys. I think there are the guys that Cal wants and the assistants are going all in on. And then there's the next level of guys that if they don't land on some of the top end guys, that's going to be the next man up. They like him, but they don't love him. It's one of those deals that he plateaued pretty hard. Then he started trending back upward in a good direction and then kind of plateaued again. And it's just like, I think this year at OTE is a huge year for him to kind of reestablish himself as a dude. And it's a good thing that he's not going to be in an early signing period guy. He's going to wait until the spring, no matter what. So it's good. It's a good thing for both sides, for Carter to figure out what he's looking for in his recruitment, but it's also going to be a way for Kentucky. They're going to be at OTE. They're going to monitor Somto obviously very closely. It's going to be a way for them to get a real feel on Carter if he's, you know, ready to be a high level impact guy at Kentucky. And I just don't think that's clear quite yet. It's going to be another one that they monitor very closely, but I think it's going to be a minute before we reach a conclusion on that one.
And like you said, the recruitment, you know, with Somto being at OTE, they're going to have plenty of opportunities to see him and stay in contact and see how he's developing and things. So one to keep an eye on for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Got a couple more. We'll go rapid fire before we get out of here. I like this one quite a lot from our guy, Jacob Polacek. Two-on-two matchup game to 11. Jack Pilgrim and Kaysen Wallace versus Sean Smith and DJ Wagner. Who wins?
Me and DJ. Absolutely. Me and DJ.
I don't know, man. I think I got the clamps on. So somebody else said in a follow-up question on this, it has to be you guarding Kaysen and me guarding DJ.
How many fouls do I get?
In a game to 11, I feel like if you need to know that number, you're cooked.
I'm getting posted. every position, I'm getting posted. So yeah.
If you need to know how many fouls you have, I think you're answering your own question that you're cooked.
I'll have a teammate, but you know what? We're still going to win because I'm going to get some gap help and we're going to let you shoot the ball.
How dare you? How dare you?
Or how many fouls we'll get so we can put you at the free throw line. But we don't get free throws in a game.
I shot 71% this year at Fantasy Camp. Thank you very much. 71%. Talk about most improved player. I went from 44% last year all the way up to 71%.
I was proud of you. And we know the revenge tour starts now, right? I know you're going to be putting in work to get back there next August. But yeah, me and DJ are still taking you. Absolutely. Yeah,
we'll see about that. Trey UK says, you get to go back in time and change the outcome of one of these games, and you only get to pick from these games. You also won't know what would have happened afterward. However, what intrigues you the most if the Cats would have won? 2010 versus West Virginia, 2017 versus UNC, 2018 versus Kansas State, 2019 versus Auburn, 2020 COVID never happens and they play in the NCAA tournament. So the Quickly, Hagans, Nick Richards bunch.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I'm going to go, just given the trajectory of where the program's been and not been there in a while, I'm going to go the most recent one, the COVID year. I want to know what a backcourt of Emmanuel Quickly and Tyrese Maxey would have done in the NCAA tournament. I'd like to have seen it, because that tournament comes down to guard play, and they had two dudes that could do it. And I know Ashton Hagans had his, you know, struggles and stuff there down the stretch, but Johnny Juzang just had a good game. Keon Brooks was coming on strong. Nick Richards was a rim protector and anchoring the interior. I think that team was built to finish somewhere between the Sweet 16 and winning a national championship. I don't know, but I would have liked to have seen what it would have been. And I think it would have taken some of the negativity away that followed in the last few years, because they would have probably made a run in that tournament.
I think I'm going to go Auburn, because that's a Final Four guaranteed, because that was the only Elite Eight of that bunch.
That's a great point.
So if you are guaranteeing me a Final Four, whereas 2020, yes, I'd love to see what Quickly and Hagans and Nick Richards and, you know, all those guys would look like in the NCAA tournament game. You also never know what happens with the tournament.
Yeah,
2018 versus Kansas State, that's only in the Sweet 16. That only gets you the Elite Eight. I like their chances against Loyola Chicago and just how that path looked. So that was kind of my second – that was kind of my runner-up. And UNC, that one's tough because UNC was an Elite Eight too.
They win a national championship if they get past that game. So that's probably a guaranteed title in my opinion. So that adds another title. I still think if PJ and them had gotten to the Final Four too, that was a championship. I do. So, and I'm all about 5-year windows, and that's still in that 5-year window of the COVID year. So I'm with you. You bring up a good point. If we change COVID not happening, there's no guarantee that Kentucky would have even won a game in that tournament. We did have guarantees that they had gotten to those rounds and it would have been at least Final Four appearances. So this was,
I think for recency bias, I think for the current state of restlessness with the fan base going, we need this Final Four, no Final Four since 2015, blah, blah, blah. Like having that 2019 one it kind of gives you a little bit of a cushion there. And I do think that team was clearly capable of winning it all. That's a really tough question. That's a really, really good question, because I could see a reason. I can see an answer for all of them, especially 2017 too, because it was either Kentucky or UNC winning the championship that year. If whoever was winning that game was winning it all.
That was the most guaranteed national title of the grouping. But the other one, 2010, would have got them to a Final Four too. So there were three games there that would have, if we'd have gone the other way. But that one's so early, in the success that followed, since I know what followed it, I don't know what would have followed the other ones. I think that's why I'm kind of leaning later than earlier.
And if Kentucky wins it all that first year, what does that do to Cal? Does having a title in 2010, a championship game in 2011, and then another title in 12, there was already just an endless amount of NBA chatter immediately after that, you know, every year really, but especially in that window, does two titles change anything with his personal decision that could have changed the entire trajectory after that, where we don't even get UNC, Kansas State, Auburn, or the COVID year? So
I actually think the fact that he hasn't won a second title has probably been one of the biggest reasons why he's still coaching at Kentucky and still wanting to do it. I think that he doesn't want his legacy just to be one. For someone that'll probably tell you he doesn't care much about it, I think he cares a lot about it. And I think that he wants a second one, because early on there was a ton of talk about, do we catch UCLA? Is that why I'm here? I remember that from an interview. And he's added one to it. And UCLA is obviously not moved. But I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to go North Carolina in 17, just because I think it would have been a national title, but it also eliminates that stupid shot. that we have to look at for the rest of our lives. It's not as, I don't want to say it's not as bad as Leitner, but to have one to both of those programs, I'd like to get one of them out of the way. So, and that would have been a Kentucky national title. And North Carolina had two teams there back-to-back that could have won national championships that wouldn't have won national championships. So, takes one from them, gives one to Kentucky. I think it's probably the easiest answer now that I think about it.
John Piran asks, is UK having a pro day? Yes, they will. That's going to be announced in the next couple of days, I've heard. So keep an eye on that. But yes, there will be a pro day. And I think it's going to be televised. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% certain about that. But I do think that there is a great, better chance than none that it will be televised. But there will be one no matter what. Last one here before we get out of here. Wildcat Dub says, what vibes are you getting from this team from a chemistry standpoint? They looked great in Toronto and seemed to enjoy each other, but that was brand new and a lot of changes once school begins. People start forming different relationships. Do these guys seem to get along? Can't have locker room issues this year like we did last year. Two thumbs up. Would recommend this locker room chemistry to anybody. That is why this team is going to work. I think that was the one thing that I was not sold on, because it was so many different personalities that you were trying to mesh together, coming from different backgrounds and styles of play, and people that had the balls in their hands for the entirety of their, you know, middle school, high school, grassroots careers. And then you're going to ask them all to come together and figure it all out in Lexington. I just didn't know if this would be a group that could make it happen. I was proven wrong very, very quickly. We saw in Toronto, I've heard nothing but amazing things behind the scenes about how they're coming together, their mindset, and their just approach to the game, and how you cannot get these dudes out of the gym, and that they're leaning on John Welch to get them in practice and get shots up. And like they want this. They have a winning mindset. They care about winning a national championship here at Kentucky. And that's half the battle. You just got to have a buy-in with these guys, and they all come from winning backgrounds. That's something that I didn't give enough credit going in. I was more focused on their styles of play and where they came from a stylistic perspective, rather than their cultures and the identities and what made them tick. And that is what is clearly won out and the cream rising to the top with this team. I have zero concerns about team chemistry and what's going on behind the scenes with this team. I think they have all of the right mental pieces to be a national title contender this year, 100%.
Yep. I think that's the starting point, is the cohesiveness and being together. And I think that this team has it. I have no concerns about it. And I think that you're going to see – there's always that thing, right, that likable Kentucky teams, the teams that are just easy to like, this is going to be one of those teams as well. The personalities, the way you're going to get to see them – through stories with us and through things that we talk about, but also on screen, I think you're going to really like these guys. And I think that you're going to see that they're together from day one, regardless if they lose a game or two early in the season, you're going to see a group that's connected and together. And I think it's going to pay off in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Sean, let's go ahead and get out of here. We went long again. I know there were some people complaining in the comments last time around that we,
well, like one or two, maybe.
Yeah.
As long as we make the 99.9% happy, then I'll go with the 99.9. I'll do the numbers. I'll do the math.
I'm cool with the results. I appreciate each and every one of our listeners. As always, let's go ahead and get out of here. Where can fans find your work?
You can follow me on Twitter at GBB Country. And like I said, get tickets, go to Georgia, support the Cats.
Kevin Price said that the Game Time's already selling basketball tickets, so.
Good. Some of them, Champions, you know, and stuff, probably is on there, and some others.
So, again, Game Time's the GOAT. I don't know why you would even think to look elsewhere for your ticketing needs. So, make sure you go to Game Time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code KSR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code KSR for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Sean, you can find my work on Twitter at JackPilgrimKSR. Reach out to me via email, jpilgrim@KentuckySportsRadio.com. With that, we'll be back next time for the Jam Packed Sports Today podcast. We will see you then.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring. laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.